Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the life that you are doing, what you're doing in this community with us. We thank you that you are a God who speaks to us, that we sing that you are alive, a God who heals, a God who's engaged with us in our present struggles and our victories and our lows. You're with us. We thank you that you're releasing new, exciting adventures for us as a church and releasing leadership for to be a gift for us, to take us further and onwards and upwards in Christ Jesus. And Father, we pray for this morning. Would you speak to us? And would you comfort those stormers forwards, God? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's wonderful. This morning, I want to let you know, if you're new to the life of the church, which might be true, there's a number of new people, met new people this morning, and God's adding amazing people almost every week here. So just to let you know, I'm Gabe Phillips, and I grew up in an amazing home in Zimbabwe with my mom and dad, and I came onto the scene just after my parents had found Jesus, and this was the radical 90s in Zimbabwe. My parents were like boots and all, they were in. This Christian thing, they changed, they put the sign, you know, the sign went on the door, let go, let God, that showed you you're a Christian, you know, if you had that sign. They had the fish on the car, they were like, we're in. This was the 90s and they were in. Christianity is our thing. And they were very excited, very zealous, and we as kids, we didn't know anything different. We went on the mission with them. Community just landed on our lap. I tell you, every night of the week, we had people in our home. Whether it was marriage counseling one night, whether it was just sharing meals with people, there was laughter, whether it was life groups and singing some Jewish songs. It was the 90s. They did this stuff. I won't sing one for now, but maybe next week. But this was the life we as kids, we went along this journey every night, people in our home. I don't know if you guys remember SABC 3, a few in the 90s had that 7 at 7. They had Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, on a Monday. Wednesday, police academy. Thursday, JAG. Do you remember it? I don't. I was doing community. Yeah. Christians. Saw you all nodding, watching TV. We had people in our home. Exactly. All I know is that there was a guy named Sully, and he looks a bit strange. Anyway, but I want to tell you, when I moved to Cape Town years later, coming out of this environment of a home, we had people all the time in our home, and I loved it. This was life. It wasn't something to be endured. We loved people being in our home. And I moved to Cape Town. I thought, I'm going to start my own life. I'm going to start here in Cape Town. I'm going to model this. I'm going to show Cape Town community. So I moved in to a home, and I met a man named John O'Shoots, and he was this intellectual man who has profound, deep thoughts, and he loved social justice, and I thought, this is a great man to live with. And another man, Jake Hearn, who had a radical testimony and strong convictions and very good at DIY. Good man to live with as well. And we got together, and there was another man from Congo who came and lived with us for a while named Nathan Alunga, who was a man of faith and loved John Maxwell books. And he was just really powerful man. Another young guy called Kisa, Jean-Claude Kisa, who moved from Rwanda. And he had this incredible story, and he moved in and lived with us. And it was almost like we were forming the Christian version of the Avengers. It was just like, we're here. This is us. And it was so amazing, and community was glorious. The Holy Spirit hovered over our home. Worship and pray. It was just wonderful, and community was brilliant until the one night I came home from dinner with my one slice of leftover pizza, Hawaiian, I can remember it, and I put it in my corner of the fridge. Community was wonderful. And I put the box, I closed it, I think I wrote my initials on it, went to bed dreaming, saying, God, when I wake up to have quiet time tomorrow with you, to honor you in my day and open the scriptures, I'll eat that cold slice of pizza. It'll be like communion with you, Father. And I remember opening the fridge the next morning. The box was there. The pizza was not. I want to tell you, in that moment, it was a lot less kumbaya and a lot more hell no. Community sucks. Or maybe the time when I came home once, a long day, and I was so excited, I ran a bath deep, and I was a bathing guy. I've got a shower now, no bath anymore, but I loved it. Ran a deep bath. I'd been given Radox as a present. Yes, I'm a man of fine taste, you know. I'd filled the bath with the aroma and the smells coming up, and I put the worship music on. I think it was a Hillsong one. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm really into God. Put the CD on, I was going to get my Bible, you know, I was going to read the Word of God and meditate on the scriptures and the bath and community and beautiful. And as I was coming out of there, I saw a flash of black. Woof. Won't mention his name. If he's here, Jean-Claude Kisa, won't mention his name. He leapt in before me, he locked the door and jumped into my bath. I want to tell you, community is hard. Still dealing with these things. But all jokes aside, I want to tell you that community is hard. Community is messy. Especially this last Friday, we had a crazy day. Woke up in the morning, got a phone call from friends of ours, Cornell and Antonell Stain. They've been a life of the church for a long time. And they gave us the news that they'd had their first baby girl called Anna. And we had been trying to have kids for a long time. And this is like a victory. And I was like, yes, God! What in a moment to share with this family that we've walked with, that we've prayed with, that they would fall pregnant, and they did, and they had no complication. This beautiful girl was born. We're like, what a great way to start the day. And then lunchtime came, and went to visit a friend of mine, a man named Doug Chandler, who joined the church in April, and had breakfast with this man, the man who started to recommit his life to Jesus and living in community. And Doug Chandler, unfortunately, went to visit him in the hospital, and he'd had a heart attack this week. And we went to visit him, and an hour later, he passed away. And this is community. And then in the night, get a phone call from a friend named Tanaka, who tells us, a young guy in the church who's on fire for God, tells us that his younger brother's just gone, had to go to the hospital because they suspect leukemia. Friday, where do we start? The highs in the community is tough. Community is messy. But I would have no other way than do life with my friends. To live life with my friends. And I want to tell you this morning, if you're new here, if you're visiting, what we're doing with the series, Irresistible Community, we are not a preaching center. I hope you've picked that up by the amount of times Mark made mistakes with his singing. We are by no means a polished outfit, but by no means. But we want to build a family. We want to build a family. We really believe that God has been so good to us in the last few months. We're just seeing countless number of people joining us, new stories, new people to the faith, salvations happening. We're so excited. But I want to tell you, we're not after growth. We're after health, because healthy things grow. We know that. Healthy things grow. And that's the whole purpose of the series, is not to be flashy. We're not trying to present sexy church or look how cool we are. This is just us being raw and saying, we want to do family. This is what God has called. We see it in the Bible, we see it in the text. We want to do it. We really believe we want to be a church that grows smaller as we grow bigger. We want to grow smaller as we grow bigger. What do I mean by that? That as we increase, as God brings our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones that we are crying out for, the family members that you are saying, God, I wish they would just come and find you in this place. Those people, our colleagues that we're longing to see saved, we want to see them come in here. But we're not doing it so we can pack out a building and send them out. Count, you're not numbers. I hope you've noticed we do name tags. Why? Not because we're trying to do something cool. It's just because we want to know people's stories. You're more than just a face to us. You're more than just a number on a seat. You are a person with a story. And I always wondered when Jesus, he walked and he said to a young man who was up a tree, hiding up a tree, trying to just catch a glimpse of Jesus, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. And the question is, did Zacchaeus come down because Jesus said, come down, or because Jesus said, Zacchaeus? And I think it's because he knew his name. People, we're longing to know our names. We want to be a family who know each other's stories, know each other's names, not just in and out, passing like ships in the night. Community is messy, community is tough, but we want to give ourselves to it. Why are we doing this series? We're doing it so that when things do get messy, and when things do get tough, and everything inside of us wants to retreat and go, I'm done. I'm done with community. Maybe you're new and you just got saved in the last few months, which a number of people have. Maybe you're saying, I'm excited, but what is this thing? The series is for you to tell you what the biblical norm is. If you have come from another church and you've moved here and you're just done with church and you're just like frustrated and fed up with what happened there, I want to say this series is for you. Because God's calling you to a new adventure. If you've been coming to Life Change for many years, and maybe community and the thing of church has lost its shine a little bit, and you're like, yeah, I've been around the bush a few times, I've done it a few times. This series is for you. Because God is calling us to His standard. The irresistible community. And we want to talk, we want to know, because when things do get messy and tough, the question we're going to ask is not how, it's going to say why. Why are we doing this? Because when it's hard, that's you got to know why we're doing this thing called community. Because I want to tell you, you will have challenge. You will have tough times. But we have to be convinced and we have to believe that this is what God is calling us to. So this morning, if it is okay with you, and I'll take by your coughs and spluttering. I'll spend 20 minutes answering the question, why is community so attractive to God? Why is it community irresistible to Him? Because we want to know that. We want to know why this is irresistible to Him. When someone swoops in, steals my bath, or steals my pizza slice, or we have highs and lows of births and tragic deaths and pain, how do we do this life and without retreating into our own comfort zones, our own individual stories? Why? Because so much so, we need to know this, because in Psalm 133, and we've said it and we'll say it again and again, that God commands a blessing where there's unity. I love that. That means God's hands are tied when there's unity. He has to bless. He cannot do anything else but bless. The Spirit of God is attracted to us when we do community well. And we want to be a people where God is attracted to us. Wonderful, everyone, all right? Good. So 3 points this morning. Point number one, the reason why we do it, it will come up on the screen, is it's because it is who He is. We do community because it is who He is. Genesis 1 verse 26 says this. It says, let us create man in our image. Now, if you are like me, or you're new to Scripture, or you're new to Christianity, which is wonderful, you'll be asking the question, who was God speaking to? Now, my wife, when she talks in the shower and she goes through her to-do lists, and my list gets longer and longer and longer, it's quite endearing and cute when she speaks to herself, you know, when she sings to herself there. But Almighty God, who was He talking to? Was He a little bit lonely? Was He just speaking to Himself? You know, was He going through a shopping list? No, He was not. We want to tell you that we sing it often, God is three in one. Complex theology, but we got to understand this, because if we don't see who God is, we don't understand who we are. We take our cue off Him, not off what man is doing. I want to tell you that there's a phrase you can take to the bank. It says, God is singular in character, but He's plural in person. God is singular in character, and He's plural in person. What do I mean by that? If we're singing, we say, God is love, or God is good, God is kind, God is faithful. We're not just meaning one member of the Trinity is good, kind, faithful. When you say God is good, you could say Jesus is good. The Spirit of God is good. And Father God is good. Because they're singular in character. They do not differentiate, but they are plural in person. They have distinct. They show themselves in different facets, in different ways. It's amazing. This truth is so profound because God in Himself is a community. Let us create man in our image. God in Himself is a community. So this is not just a church idea. I want to tell you, this is not a church idea. Not something you think, how can we do this? How can we look after people better? It's not a pastorally strategic decision. This is God in Himself saying, this is the pattern. This is the lens. This is how you do life. I'm community, and we are birthed from community for community. I love it. I want to tell you, there's a man named C.S. Lewis, and he was the author of the Chronicles of Narnia, if you know them. But he's also a weighty theologian, and he had this word, this Greek term, about what were the Trinity doing before they created mankind? What were they doing? And the word is the perichoresis. It's the dance of the Trinity. It's the word that the three of them were so enjoying each other. They're so in love with, they're full of love with each other. The community was so self-sustaining and so good. Life was so abundant between the three of them, deferring to one another, loving each other, giving glory to one another. They said, this life between us is so good, we got to share it. We got to invite mankind into this community. Community is important because it's who He is. He is in community with Himself, and we are made in His image. I want to tell you, the first thing that God says, He says this, when He creates the heavens and the earth and the mountains and the seas, He says, good, 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 Table Mountain, good. Victoria Falls, good, all of these things. He said, they're good. He makes man, He says, it's very good. The first thing He says that is not good, is He says it's not good for man to be alone. And all the single guys go, praise the Lord. Amen. I really want to stress this, because this is not only in a relationship or marriage understanding. This is God's heart. When God speaks, and this is the first mention, the Lord first mentioned, He said, it is not good for man to be alone. I want to tell you, it is not good for you to be alone, sir, ma'am. Hear your God speak this morning that it's not good for you to be alone. He declares it still to this day. He's not gone back. He's not rescinded on that comment saying, for some people, may it's better. No, he says for everybody from the parapet of heaven, he declares, it's not good for you to be alone. Amen. I love this. I want to label this because man had everything. He had numerous pets. He could have had a lot of time. He had a lot of DIY to get done. Name the animals. Do this thing. Oh, I've got to look after the garden here. He had so much. He had purpose. He had things in common with God. And God still said, you know, it's not enough. You need community within yourself. You need community. God sorted himself. We were birthed out of community for community. We've got to see that community is important, and it's important to God because it's who he is. We want to be a people who are preoccupied with Jesus. We're not building a preaching center. We're not building a Christian equivalent of a McDonald's. Come and get your fill and go out quickly. I'll have order number two, please. Mark and Pletz and Barry White. And on the side, I'll have Rob Matthews on announcements. Thanks. No, this is not a McDonald's. This is who God is. We are people. We are glorified amateurs who are looking at our God and saying, we want to be like you. We want to imitate what you are doing. Let's be a people who lift our eyes. Not, this is not a strategy. This is not what they are doing or that church are doing. We're people saying we love community because he is in a community himself. And he formed us out of that space. Point one. Point number two is the reason why community is important. Community, in community, we become more like him. I don't know if you know it, but the New Testament, the majority of the New Testament is written to communities. It's written to communities. If you start, read the Bible, in any of Paul's letters, they start with, to the church that meets in Ephesus, to the church that meets in Corinth. The New Testament as well, most of it, deals with relational issues. That's how highly he knows community is tough, because he spends most of his time laboring how to deal with relational issues. Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, glorious theology about Jesus. Chapter 4, 5, 6 is, how do you outwork that theology in community? That's what it is. That's how the Bible's written, and yet we read it with individual lenses. What's God's word for me today? It's not really, the text wasn't written to an individual. It was written to a community doing life together. We miss that, hey? I want to tell you that it was written to a church, never to a me and Jesus vacuum. Just me and Jesus on our walk. Can't do that. There's an article I read the other day called My Dream Church. I thought it was so profound. A guy wrote, and he said, my dream church. And he starts with saying, I'm a thinker, I'm a deep thinker, I love deep theology, I love having a glass of whiskey on the side, and my dream church would be a hipster preacher preaches, just for 25 minutes, don't go too much longer over that, please, I've got time. And he said, my dream church is that, and we share deep thoughts after, we have great weighty theological discussions, reformed, it's quiet, it's reflective, we're sitting and mulling things over. They said, that's my dream church, with a bunch of 20-somethings who are similar to me, all have beards and plaid shirts, they're like, that's my church, I want that. And he goes on his article and he puts a comment, he says, thank God God didn't put me in my dream church, because it's never been about your dream, it's his dream for you. Your dream is small, insipid, and will keep you in selfishness and laziness and apathy for your whole life because it tends to what you like. But God doesn't want to make you happy. He wants to make you like Christ. I want to tell you, that's the sucker gospel we've bought into from the Western world. God wants to make you happy. Rubbish. Because my happiness panders to my insecurities. Just make me feel good. No, God wants to make me like Christ. And I love that because when I'm made like Christ, I find fullness of joy. I find fullness of freedom that I didn't even know I once needed. I want to tell you, my dream is too small. My dream is too small. His dream for us. Please hear us today. Please, I pray that I'm saying, God, again and again, I say, God, I'm trading my dream for your dream. I don't even know what that even looks at the moment. It requires obedience. It requires faith. But God is wild. God is beautiful. I'm after that thing. I'm not after my story. My story leads to smallness. I don't know if you've heard maybe you've been in church for a while and you've heard a hyped up preacher jump on stage and beat a Bible and say, God has a plan for you. It's true, but it's not complete. It says, God has a plan for you, and it's in community. Jeremiah 29:11, I like beating up on this one a little bit. It says, we all know it. For I have plans for you, plans to give you hope and a future, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. And we're like, wonderful. Do you know who that was written to? the nation of Israel. It's not for your individual cup, coffee cup to read in the morning and go, oh, wonderful, me on my own. It's a corporate promise that we have access to when we understand God's ways. We understand that God has a plan for us and it's in community. He's never moved from it from the beginning. He does not change his mind. He does not become more modern and hip, cool for some, but not for others. He says community is the way. It's tough. It's messy. We need to know why. I really believe this thing that I love new people because I don't know them and they don't know me. I love it. It's very nice because they go, wow, Gabe, you're such a lovely, funny guy. I like you. They don't know that I'm selfish yet, so it's nice. They don't know that I'm lazy yet. They don't know that I've said this before, that I don't sometimes forget to get back to people. They don't know that yet. But it's funny how when you do family, I don't know about your family, but I seem to have much less grace for my family than I do for strangers because I know them and they should do better. They know me. It's funny that. But that's why God calls us to know each other. It's so much easier just to have a faceless thing, internet preach, go, come and go as we please. But God's call is to know and be known. The Ephesians puts it this way, chapter 4 says, remove the veil, the curtain, from your lives and so people can see in. In Zimbabwe, we had these big curtains and behind them we had that lace curtain. I don't know if anyone else had that. It was like a fashion in the 90s. So it opened the curtain, but you have lace there. But I have this image saying, remove that lace curtain to get the sun in, the full effect of it. You have to remove that. And a lot of us have said, yeah, this is who I am, but we've got a veil. Not people won't get close past that. Past the hurt, no, you're not coming anywhere near. Past this thing, don't call me on that. Don't talk to me about that. We live with this veil where God's saying, remove the veil. Because we want to be a people, a church that celebrates weakness and vulnerability. What I mean by that, we want to be people who cheer it on because when we are weak, the Bible says he is strong. But the problem with church, I believe, is we're all living our... Church often is very anemic and doesn't live in the full power that God has for it because we're still living in our strength. But when we are weak and vulnerable, it allows the grace of God to flow. I want to tell you, in community, we become more like Christ. These guys called the disciples. Thank you so much. Sheesh. Beautiful. Oh, the problem is now I can go for another hour. Sure. Thank you very much, Craig. The disciples, I don't know if you know them, if you've heard of them, but they've been glamorized by the church. They've been put in stained glass windows when they're actually just like you and me, rough guys. Peter was a rough fisherman type who I can imagine my head goes this way. He's got anchor tattoos. He was at a very dodgy tan because he'd been out in the sea for a lot. He swore like a trooper, and Jesus said, come follow me. There was another man named Matthew who was this tax collector. He was that hipster guy, I can imagine, an accountant. He did the numbers. He was very finicky about details. Details. And Jesus says, you come follow me. Another guy called Simon the Zealot, who was this nut job, a religious freak, who used to, I'm blessed, hallelujah. All we need to do is get a Christian politician, and then we'll be better. Simon the Zealot. Then there's another guy called Judas, who was a slime ball thief, who used to, when he had offering, would go put his offering in and take change out. Fine, thanks. And Jesus says, come follow me. He doesn't say, you follow me on a Monday, you on a Tuesday. These different people says, follow me in community. The 12 of them looking at each other, eyeballing each other. I don't like that guy. He never pays back. He never pays for meals, that Judas. Always says, I left my wallet. Sorry, guys. Sorry. It says, follow me in community. It's not these beautiful guys who are walking on clouds. These were rough guys who said the wrong thing, who irritated, got jealous with each other. But what about him, God? What about me? Come on, where's my moment? Community is messy. It's tough. But it's unavoidable if we want to become more like Jesus. I want to tell you, finally on this thing, is that your breakthrough, sir, ma'am, is not in another conference. If you say, I just need a breakthrough with Jesus. It's not another conference. It's not another sermon series. It's probably in the person sitting on your left or your right. Your breakthrough most often is in somebody who's most different to you, actually. Take a look at your friendship circles. Take a look who has access to your life racially, gender, economically, socially. I'd laugh and make jokes about that young man, Kisa, taking my bath. But God dealt with racism that I thought was long dead in my heart when he moved in and lived with me. It was hard. But God knows he's not there to make me happy. He wants to make me like Christ. Final point, and we land. First one is, it is who he is. Community is important because it is who he is. Second, it's important because we become more like him in community. And thirdly, we best reflect his image when we are in community. If we understand point one, we are made in his image, and that's out of community. And if it's in community, point two, that his image is refined in us, then it is best in community that we'll show the world who he clearly is. If he's a God of community, how can we show them by being ourselves just on our own? I tell you, it's impossible to fulfill our purpose alone. The stories that God has for us as a people are so huge that we cannot do it alone. We cannot do this alone. In Ephesians 3 verse 10, it says this, I love the scripture, it says, now through the church, the manifold, that's the multifaceted wisdom of God, will be known to the world. Now through the church. And I think, we love that text, but I think because people lived with a denomination mindset and the church being a building, we then swung the other way and overplayed the fact that church is you and me by ourselves. Wonderful. But I think we've also lost the fact that church is us together. It's not just you and me, it's us. That's the glory of this thing. And I really believe this with all my heart. Because I love the church. I love the church with all the faults, with all the weaknesses, with all the things that go with it. I love it because I love him and I love what he loves. He loves the church. It's the only thing he died for. It's the only thing he's coming back for. The church. His community. His people. I believe this. I don't just tolerate the church. I think maybe you can say, I love God and I'm okay with church. If I love my wife and I say, I love you, but I don't love the things you love, it's arrogant. It's me imposing my will on her. But if I love her, I come to love the thing she loves. And that's what God is calling us. Love the thing he loves. He loves this thing. In 1 Peter chapter 2, a great scripture, God is describing his people. If you want to know how God describes you, you go, I'd love this. I'm like, so God, describe me. Tell me what I'm like, God. And he goes, ooh, my people. And you can hear God go, my people are like a rock. Pardon? We're like a what? Can I take an eagle rather? Or something like a cheetah. It's much cooler. No. He goes, no. My people are like a stone. Wow. Cool. Thanks, God. Appreciate that one. Bit of a bummer. Judah Smith says, I don't know if you've ever been walking along a road and you've never stopped and go, oh my word, everyone stop! There's a rock. It's amazing. It's a rock. A rock. Thanks, God. Basically, he's saying, you're building material. Church, you're building material. Doesn't that get you exciting? Not really. I'm like, whoa. Building material. Why? Because he goes on, the scripture says, because I am building. You are stones, living stones, brought together, and I'm building something beautiful with you. On our own, just a stone. But God's called us to. He's wanting to build something with our lives. Sir, ma'am, God's wanting to build something beautiful with your life. He wants to build a home, a temple for his presence to dwell. We want to be an irresistible community to God, that he's building a dwelling place through living stones, through building material like you and me. Let's give our lives to what he is building, not fighting that thing. I want to land with this practically. How does this work for us? Community is important. We've got to know the why. We'll labor this for another 2 weeks. But we pray that this goes deep. And I'm hearing stories of men and women who rising up to this, who laying a hold of community for the first time, for the first time for a long time. I'm hearing these stories. They're so exciting. Life groups are growing, are pumping. We've got to give ourselves to these things. It's hard. It's not easy. I know that. But it's good. It's what he wants from us. But here, let's finish with this, a self-audit, if it's okay. Rory Dyer shared a story a while ago. He said, there's four different types. When he thinks of people, he says people react in four different ways. Tell me which one are you. I asked my wife and she knew it. She knew who I was straight away. But he says when conflict comes, when tough times come, we're in community, say, I'm giving myself to the community, but a tough time comes, maybe you respond like the turkey. It's very biblical, isn't it? The turkey. And there's a bit of a pressure, a bit of a thing, and what you do is big noise. I'm blessed, I'm okay, I'm fine, everything's hundreds. Amen, plead the blood, hallelujah. I'm okay. I'm the head and not the tail, I'm above and not beneath. Blessed. Big turkey. What is that? What is that? It's like not real. We're not doing community together. It's just making this thing. I'm hundreds. Oh, and we avoid each other. Oh. Or maybe you react secondly like the snake. Hey, how are you doing? Oh, don't you dare ask me about that. Private matter between me and God. Ugh, a little bit of a bite there. Or maybe you react like the tortoise. Community comes. How are you doing? Whoop. I'm fine. I'm okay. Oh. Oh. And your voice gets deeper than Mark and Pleasant. Oh. Oh. Like a tortoise. Or maybe fourthly, you respond like the hare. Pressure comes and gone. Have you seen that guy recently? No, I heard he had a bit of an issue. They're taking a few weeks off. So, God's dealing with me in the desert. No. No. I want to tell you, we all that. If I'm honest with you, I'm very much the turkey. That's my default because I feel that I need to be strong. I need to be this. But that's lies. It's rubbish. When we come to community, we're supposed to be allowed to be weak so Christ can be strong. I want to tell you, sir, ma'am, your breakthrough is in someone around you. Let's give ourselves to community. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask that God would do something in our hearts in this season. This is an exciting season. Don't miss out on what God is doing. If you're here for the first time, if you've been coming for a long time, I'm praying that God will do something in you. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning, a simple word in light of all that's going on in our community and our family here, God, I pray that we are giving ourselves to becoming an irresistible community. Not because we are more fancier, not because we do things better, not because we try, we have better coffee, or we are an irresistible community because we are allowing you to be strong in our lives. We refuse to do this on our own. We say, God, we're coming to your plan. That we are building material and you are building something supernaturally beautiful so that the world can go, wow. Surely God is amongst those people. How do black and white, old and young, smelly and clean, rich and poor, how do they do life together with such joy and deal with issues so well? Because the Spirit of God is there. So Father, I pray right now, even with those four animals, God, maybe we even in ourselves, we know that's the way I react with my spouse. That's the way I react with friends. That's the way I react. God, I thank you that in this moment, you show us our true nature, which is Jesus Christ. In humility, laid his life down. Who did not turn and run. Did not just speak, but in front of his accusers, he remained silent. He stood up and was counted. Thank you, Christ. You are our example this morning. And I thank you even more so. You are our substitute. That where we fall short, you have poured in grace, and grace in abundance. So right there where you sit, I pray right now, if you're just saying, God, would you help deal with this individualistic lifestyle? If you're saying, God, I need courage. I don't even know the how, maybe, but I want to give myself more to community. Just lift your hands to him. No one's looking around. This is just for you and God. Father, I pray. As people say, God, we want to give ourselves to community again, afresh, for the first time. Pray, God, would you put grace and courage on hearts? You're building something beautiful. In Jesus' name I pray.